Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, we're going to be focusing there for just a few minutes in Ephesians chapter number 6 in the area 5, 6, and 7, in those verses right there. In the book of 2 Peter chapter number 1, the Bible said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That we have put the emphasis upon growth. That we put the emphasis upon spiritual growth in our lives. I ask the question, how can you tell if an individual has grown spiritually? You look at a child. How do you tell if a child has grown? Well, I don't know how you did this at your house. Some houses, they've got the doorpost marked, you know. When they go up, they're about 36 inches tall, and then 48, and then 52, and then I've got a good friend of mine. He's 6 feet 7 inches tall, so mom and daddy probably couldn't even reach that high. But we look at the physical growth of an individual. The Bible talks about the church as being a body. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says there are many members, yet one body, and we're all members one of another. That simply indicates to us that you and I are a part of the work of the kingdom of God, and it doesn't make any difference whether we're a hand or a toe or a foot or whatever. The Bible teaches that for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. It may be that then that child, you look at that child and you say, well, but now if you try to measure a child and all of a sudden you notice that that child is not growing as that child should be growing, then you're going to take that child to the doctor and say, well, is something wrong with his human growth hormone? I mean, what's going on? There's a pituitary gland. Is there something wrong with that gland that has kept that child from growing? Or if that child, at a certain point in its age, if that child does not begin to speak and doesn't say anything, then you would begin to be concerned about that child. If you took that child to kindergarten and the teacher calls you in and said, listen, your child is a beautiful child, but this child is not progressing at the normal rate a child his age ought to progress. We think there may be something wrong. You ought to do some testing. Every individual will be concerned about that who have children. Ladies and gentlemen, the same thing is true in the body of Jesus Christ. When there are individuals, they obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the new birth. John 3, verses 3 through 5. Nicodemus was told by our Lord, you must be born again. Born of the water and of the Spirit. An individual believes in Jesus as the Son of God. He repents of his sins, confesses Christ before men, is baptized into Christ for the remission of his sins. He is raised to walk, the Bible says, in a newness of life. He's put off the old man, Romans chapter number 6, Ephesians chapter number 4. The Bible teaches us that he has put off that old man and has put on the new man. We see that individual as he comes out of a watery grave of baptism. Now, my friend, today, if we see that individual and a year later or 2 years later or 5 years later, that individual has not made some spiritual progress. That individual doesn't know more about the Bible. That individual doesn't have a greater understanding of spirituality. Then there's something wrong with the spiritual growth of that person. We have said that you can measure the spiritual growth of an individual by certain ways. Number one, you can measure the spiritual growth of an individual by his attendance at the service of the church. If an individual obeys the gospel, becomes a Christian, never comes to Bible school on Sunday morning, never comes on Wednesday night, never participates in any activity that the church is involved in, then you need to find out if my spiritual growth is where it ought to be. If a person doesn't have a better understanding of the Bible, knows more about the Bible, knows more Bible itself, then something ought to be examined in that life to say what is going on with the spiritual growth of that individual. And so when you and I look at the concept of growth, we have talked about Bible study, how you can have an exciting Bible study, a personal devotion, not just a devotional, but a personal study of the Bible in the home. We have talked not only about a personal study of the Bible in your home, but we have also talked about how you make the Bible come alive. When you and I look at Psalm 119, we looked at how do you take the Word of God and make it a living. The Bible says the Word of God is quick. It is alive. It is a living unit. How do you make it come alive in your life? As you and I look at spiritual growth, you and I need to understand that there is a relationship that exists between us who are Christians, those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the outside world. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you and I don't just dwell in this church building. We do not just come here and sit on a Sunday morning. As one fellow said, we enter at 11 o'clock sharp, men at 12 dull. Now, we don't just come in here on a Sunday morning and sit down and say, okay, I'm gonna have my little hour of spirituality and then I'll leave. I'm going to leave it in the church building. If I ask you a question today, for an example, if I said, how much of your income belongs to Jesus Christ? I would venture to say that if we took a survey, there would be those who would say, well, you know what? A tenth would belong to Jesus Christ. The New Testament does not teach us that we're the tithe. As a matter of fact, let me back this up. You and I in Christ ought to do more than what is expected of the Jews under that Old Testament law that did not say. But our sermon's not on that today. But we'd simply say, how much of my money belongs to Christ? We'd ask this question. Somebody, you ask, how much of my time belongs to Jesus? Somebody said, well, the Lord's Day. It's exciting. I'm going to serve it on the Lord's Day. Hebrews 10:25. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another in so much the more as you see the day approaching. I give the Lord's Day. I go and I worship and I give and I sing and I pray and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's what you said, the answer is all wrong. There are many individuals who have the idea that if you take the pie and you're going to cut it up, okay, I give the Lord that slice on the seventh, on the first day of the week. That's the seventh day. He has one. I've got the other six. Or I take that income and I divide it up. No, ladies and gentlemen, the whole pie belongs to Christ. Not part of it. You see, when you and I look at it, so then, how does that reflect my Christian growth outside of the church building? In the book of Ephesians, the Bible says, in Ephesians chapter number 6, the Bible said, you servants, you submit, you obey your masters in the flesh. If you have a copy of the Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians, and I want you to underline, if you do that in your Bible, I want you to underline, the Bible says, you servants, be obedient to your masters in the flesh. I want you to understand something. That is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is saying that I have a relationship outside of the body of Christ. I have a relationship outside of worship. And so the Bible says that as a child of God, Paul says, you servants, be obedient to your masters who are according to the flesh with fear and trembling. But I want you to look at the next statement. Not only that, he says, not just with fear and trembling, the last statement, as unto Christ. Now I want you to look at another passage. Just kind of keep your finger here if you want to. In the book of John, chapter number 17, there are four statements in the prayer of our Lord in John 17 that tell us about our relationship. Now, Paul said in Ephesians 6, notice this, he said, you servants, be obedient unto your masters in the flesh. You know what that's saying? That's saying, Larry Acuff, if you have a job, wherever it may be outside, I work in the kingdom, but if I have a job outside of the kingdom, the Bible is saying, I have a responsibility. He says, you obey your boss. Now, let me put that in 2010 terms. You obey your boss. Now, he said, you do that as unto the Lord. Okay, now look at John 17. Give you four passages. In John 17, our Lord prays to the Father. And here's what he said. He said in verse number 4 and 6, he said, he thanked God for those who have been brought unto him out of the world. We're out of the world. When an individual obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is now part of Christ. He is out of the world. Then, in verse number 11, he makes this point. He says, but they are in the world. Now, he said, you've been called out of it. You live in it. But then in verse number 14, he said, you are not of it. And in verse 18, he said, you've been sent back out into it. So the Bible said we've been called out of the world. The Bible says now we live in the world, but we're no longer of it. And we've been, now notice this, we have been sent back out into the world. So we got Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says, obey your boss. In John 17, the Bible said your relationship with the world is that you live in it. You've been sent into it. Now you're not of it. And you know the illustration, you've heard it, I'm sure many times, that a boat's made to be in the water, but not for the water to be in the boat. Christian made to be in the world, not the world to be in the Christian. Let me give you a third passage. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, and you can just mark this down, verses number 9 and 10, I'll paraphrase it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they had a problem with fornication in the church. A man had taken his father's wife. And the Bible said they had gloried over that thing. And Paul said, now your glorying is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And he said, you do not have fellowship with that person. He said, now I have taught you. All right, let's turn your Bibles to the book. I like for us to look at the Bibles, folks. Because it's not Larry Acuff, it is the Word of God, it is the Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Paul said, I have written unto you that you do not accompany or do not have fellowship. I'm using the word fellowship. He uses the word company with fornicators. Don't company with fornicators. But I want you to look at verse number 10. Look at the next verse. Yet not altogether with fornicators, he said, but of this world, or with the covetousness, nor extortioners, or with idolaters. Now listen to this. He said, for you then must needs go out of the world. Here's what he's saying. I checked on this. I double checked this to make sure that I'm going to teach you what the Bible says that's right. And that it, what Paul is saying is, look, he said, I'm saying there are fornicators out here in the world. You cannot avoid the fornicators and the worldly out there, those who are extortioners and liars. You cannot avoid them. He said, in order to avoid them, you're just going to have to be dead. And then the next verse, he makes this statement to them. He said, now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that's called a brother be a fornicator. Now what is he saying? He's saying, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a relationship out there in the world. We do not become holy by living in a hole. Somebody thinks, well, I'm going to join up with a monastery and sit around and pluck a harp all day. That's not, no, the Bible teaches us that I am to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so what I want you and I to understand very easily here is that I have a relationship, and this relationship with the world is one that you're going to see how it applies as a child of God. Just a second. Paul said, you, in order not to fellowship with folks of fornicators and whatever, you'll have to be dead. He said, you're going to be around them outside the world. Doesn't mean you're part of them. Doesn't mean you endorse it. Doesn't mean you support it. Doesn't mean you encourage it. He said, you're just living in it. All right, now let me give you another passage. Back in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 29, the Bible teaches that Jesus, the children of Israel had gone into captivity in Babylon. You know what God said to them? God said, those you have been God said, that was my doing. You are in Babylon because I sent you there. I sent you there because of your sin. You have been taken captive. Now, some of them apparently were saying, well, I'm over here in Babylon, and I'm just going to slough it off. You know what God said? God said, let me tell you what you do. You go out there and you build yourself houses. You plant yourself gardens. You go out there and your sons marry the daughters and the daughters marry the sons. And he said, listen to this, you seek peace in the city. What is he saying? You have a relationship. A relationship outside the world, outside the church. He's saying to them, you have a relationship with Babylon. Now let me give you another passage. In Matthew chapter number 5, verses 13 through 16, the Bible said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt is lost, it's safer. It is sent forth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. You're the light of the world. You know what we do sometimes? We come in here and shine our flashlights on one another. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. He didn't say you're the light of the church. He said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, and men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and he give it all to light it all that are in the house. Somebody said, well, Brother Acuff, but I'm not a preacher. And man, if I just give my time in the full-time ministry, and if I just be like you as a preacher, listen, you know what God did? God took ordinary people, put them in ordinary jobs to do extraordinary things. See, we've got this idea. Well, in order to be an influence, I got to be a... No. I never was in the who's who. I wasn't even in the who's not. I mean, they wouldn't let me lead in silent prayer in school. You think about folks. Most folks have the idea that, well, you know what, it doesn't matter. I'm just not important enough to make a difference. All right, I want you to back up now. I want you to look at three things very quickly. Because what you and I think is, in our spiritual growth, that if I just go to church, that's all that's necessary. But I don't think about this. Number one is this. You and I must see our work. You can use the word job if you want to. I think I did on my notes, but it doesn't matter. If you see your job or your work as an opportunity, and be grateful for that. Do you and I see our work as an opportunity, our job as an opportunity, and be grateful for it? You know, work is kind of something somebody says, now, Brother Acuff, I hate work. Who, me? I got to go to work in the morning. 8 Mondays. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I'd like to find out how many of you hate Monday mornings. You know, don't raise your hand, man. Somebody think we got something special going on here. Be so many hands up. I hate Monday. Got to go to work. Had you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about who the first farmer was in the Bible? Somebody said, well, sure, it was Adam. No, it wasn't. It was God. God planted a garden. And then he said to Adam, before the fall of man, before sin, he said, Adam, I want you to dress and to keep this garden. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it was only after the sin that he said, by the sweat of thy brow shalt thou eat bread all the days of thy life. He didn't say that work wasn't a good thing. He didn't say you couldn't enjoy your work. He didn't say don't wait. He said, by the sweat of thy brow shalt thou eat bread all the days of thy life. So I want to ask you a question. How do you view your work? Well, to some individuals, it's a necessary evil. I got to go do it. If I don't go do it, they won't pay me Friday or whenever. Just necessary evil. Others look at their work like caught in a trap. Man, I'm in a trap. I'm in a trap and I can't get out of it. I mean, I don't know. Now, we need to look at our jobs as an opportunity and be grateful for that. Others look at their job as being a... I mean, it's their God. That's everything to them. Our point number one was that we need to see our job as an opportunity. Underline that word and be thankful for it. Number two, we need to see our job as a responsibility and be helpful. You see, I look at my job, you ought to look at, we all ought to look at our jobs as a responsibility. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that whatever you, Colossians chapter number 3, whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. That a child of God ought to be the hardest worker that an employee has. If you are a Christian, if we are Christian and I'm working, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I need to be the hardest worker. That employee ought to say, listen, get me somebody from the church. Get me a Christian in here. They work harder than anybody else. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter whether I'm a gospel preacher or whether I do something, I'm a clerk or a factor, it doesn't matter what I do, I need to recognize, see my job as a responsibility and be helpful. Number three, I need to see my job as a ministry and be faithful. Now, I'm going to give you some suggestions in just a second. But notice this. Let your light shine before men. That they may... Where do we let our light shine? On our jobs? Where do we let our light shine? When we go shopping? When do we let our light shine? In our families? See, let your light... What did Jesus say in Jeremiah 29 to these folks who are over here in Babylon? These folks have taken them captive, and he said, you be at peace with these people. You build houses. You work for peace for the city. Yeah, but God, we're over here. No. I love Daniel. I love the book of Daniel. What did Daniel do? Daniel's taken to captivity. What did he do? They knew in a short time that he was to submit himself to God and to God's will. That I use my work as a child of God. Now let me give you three suggestions. Number one, don't brag. Number two, don't nag. You know what? You see, folks, let them... The Bible doesn't say shine your light. The Bible says let your light shine. Let them see it. Number one, don't brag. Number two, don't nag. Number three, don't lag. You know, as a child of God, those around us ought to be able to see our lives. And as a result of that, they see Christ living in me. Now, I want you to go back with me to Ephesians chapter number 6. And I want you to look at this. I want underline your mind, and then we're going to close. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to see this because I think you understand it better. Underline this. Look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4 times in verses 5 to 7. Look at this. He said, you servants, be obedient to your masters with fear and trembling according to the flesh. What does he say? As unto Christ. Verse number 6. Look at this. Not with eye service as men pleasers. The boss is there or not there, you work hard. Not with eye service of men, please. But look at this. But as do you and I realize that when we work, wherever we work, that we're working, ladies and gentlemen, for Christ. That's what he said. As the servants of Christ. Then look at the next phrase. Doing the will of God. And then verse 7. with goodwill doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. Ladies and gentlemen, when I come to this work in the morning or Tuesday, or you go to your work, we are doing the work of God. Spiritual growth is letting us see the relationship that we have to this world that's out there.